at one stage, he's speaking in Harlem at the Audubon Ballroom in 1965. A couple of gunmen create a disturbance, and while people aren't looking, they step out and they shoot him dead.
I had been working late. You know, I have a terrible habit of writing at night, and I had gotten up at 7 o'clock. And I remember turning on the radio, standing over the stove, pouring a cup of coffee. I looked outside. It was a day that was so cold and cloudy and threatening with snow. And there was a break in the music that was playing. And this man in this very cold voice said that Malcolm X had been assassinated. But the way he said it was such disdain. And I remember I had had the cup in my hand. I dropped the cup. I stood up and I screamed. I went running down my hallway, screaming, and coming back up the hallway, screaming, opening my door to my apartment, screaming, said, no, no, no. I said I should have been there that day. And maybe we would have seen some of those guys toting those guns underneath their coats. And we could have alerted, you know, the men that there were aliens in that ballroom that day. People who were not coming to praise him and to be with him. That's what I remember.
I think if Malcolm X was looking at the situation in America right now, if he, you know, if he had a direct line from up above or down below, wherever you know, think he ended up, I think he'd be saying, "I told you so."
The frustrations that we've seen are not just about a particular incident; they have deep roots in many communities of color, who have a sense that our laws are not always being enforced uniformly or fairly. Since Ferguson is Barack Obama's Katrina,
hip-hop is the culture, compel my brain. But it's hard to gauge how someone like Malcolm would feel about something like this because we come from a different generation. He was pushing for black people to become more globalized, to have more of a global worldview. You'll begin to see a lot more of that come from this generation because we have the internet. I think Malcolm would very much appreciate that. I think that he would also appreciate the initial act of resistance. You know, most of us said, you know what, you're not going to leave him dead in the middle of the street for 4.5 hours. You're not going to get away with not covering his body. This won't go down on our watch. And I feel that, you know, the spirit of people like Malcolm influenced us to take that stand, influenced us to, you know, there's people who I heard say, you know what, today I don't care if I die. You know, I don't care if I go to jail. This ain't your daddy's civil rights movement. No, this ain't your mama's
civil rights movement. Yeah. How do we change the situation so that there's more trust between law enforcement and some of these communities? But what we also saw...
You had this split screen where the president is calling on the rule of law, the nation's first black president. And on the other screen, you have young working class youths in a very limited way running amok. And I think in that split screen, you see the kind of limits of the post-civil rights consensus, really, which is that a handful of people can get on. But large numbers of people are left behind. This is our nightmare.
We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare.
If it was not for the violence, who would have heard of Michael Brown? Who believes seriously that there would have been a federal investigation into this murder were it not for the resistance that happened here?